Becoming a ski instructor was one of the best decisions I made in my life. The outdoors life, being physical, doing my favorite sport, being in the mountains around friends, the list goes on. There are so many great things about being a ski instructor. Now, today, you're going to meet Chris, who heads up Snowmines, a company that helps place people in ski instructing jobs and sets them up with training and a secure start in the industry. And I think this is really neat because when I first began back in 2005, it was sort of, quite a it was a daunting thing to go to a country on the other side of the world. I knew no one, absolutely no one. Had to find accommodation, a job, and my first job wasn't even as a ski instructor. It was in a rental shop, mind you. And so Chris Snowmines, he helps people get into the industry, get a start, and do it sort of with peace of mind and a real sense of feeling looked after. So today you're going to hear some insights that Chris has through working himself as a ski instructor, setting up Snowmines, and realizing like what are some of the missing pieces. And you'll hear from Chris a lot talk about like soft areas that really make a difference to someone having a great winter. So this is really interesting for people that have been a ski instructor. You'll relate to a lot of stuff. People that are thinking about becoming a ski instructor, and also people that perhaps are in the area of management in the ski industry of or ski schools. Chris is sort of in the unique position where he has traveled to many different places around the world and seen many different ski schools because he finds ones that work really well and provide this great environment for someone to thrive and enjoy this wonderful thing, skiing and becoming a ski instructor in the industry. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode with Chris from Snowmines. Let's get into the podcast right now. Hey, my first question to you is, why do people become ski instructors? I know why I became a ski instructor, but you get to see thousands of, happy ski instructors come through courses. What do you think is the main reason behind people going down this road?
I think first of all, the people they're looking for adventure, right? They want to leave their home country. They want to go out in the world. They have a love for skiing or for snowboarding. They want to explore that, but they want to explore that in a different culture where they can get a real lifetime experience. And then I think if you sort of down a little bit further into this, I think there's a few there's quite a lot of different reasons. Some might be attracted to developing their language. For example, when we send people to Austria, it's often with the mindset that you need to practice your German and so on. Others, they really would like to develop their teaching experience and so on because they might be want to become teachers in the future or just sort of develop that competency and so on. Some want to explore new cultures, get new friends, and so on. So I think there's a lot of various reasons, but I think the underlying is that there's a love for the skiing and for the snowboarding, for giving other people some unique experiences, and to get a lifelong adventure.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking there's not many jobs. Like, if I'm in Australia, for example, and I think, right, I want to go and work overseas, there's like the ski industry is quite unique in that it's very kind of like open to foreigners coming and spending a bit of time here. And it's like a really fun job. So it's quite unique in that aspect, isn't it? You can go, yeah, I mean, like, where are the courses running, Snowmines courses, for example, all around the world that you run?
Yeah, so we started Snowmines in 2012, where we focused on Austria. So we ran our first course at the Kitzsteinhorn Glacier down in Cambrun. And then we have sort of been developing our courses a little bit since. So now we run, for example, 15 different courses on 15 different locations in Canada. We run courses in Japan. We run courses in Switzerland, Spain, New Zealand, Norway. So we offer a little bit of different and so on. And there's also reasons for that because I feel that the young people we meet and we sort of connect with that are contacting us to become certified instructors and get a job and that experience, they come from many different countries. So we've had people that come from more than 40 different countries that are traveling with us. So it's truly global as such, which I find extremely exciting. But they also come back to your first question for various reasons. Some might want to develop French, or some might want to develop Spanish or German, or just improve their English. And so it's really great that we can offer a few different things, and they're all unique. In all the countries are unique in various ways, right? Which is also one of the things I personally find exciting and a privilege to be able to go and explore.
Do you find there is like a trend at all with certain countries wanting to go to other certain countries? Like, can you speak to that? Is there who wants to always go to Canada? Who are the people that want to go to Japan, and who likes, like, no, Austria?
Yeah, who doesn't want to go to Canada, right? Like, but I think that's a great question. So I'm Danish, and we have a lot of our instructors that come from Denmark, and we have a lot from the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, England, and Australia, and so forth. But for example, if I think about our Danish instructors and our Danish candidates, I think some of them they have a preference to go to countries that they have been growing up skiing in. So that's quite a lot that have a preference, for example, for Austria, maybe a few from Norway and so on, because, you know, you have these core memories in life that, you know, the first time I was skiing, or the first time I was powder skiing, or and so on. And someday,
or I remember that I remember my cool instructor, and I always wanted to be an instructor, that memory.
Exactly. That red uniform down in Altendorf in St. Johann, Austria, and so on, right? And I think some they're looking for that experience to sort of re-experience sort of those childhood memories, but as the instructor that are then delivering them instead. But I also see that we have a lot of instructors that are maybe seeing this, as I said before, like a lifetime adventure, and they see this as an opportunity to try something completely new. They want to go to a country that they maybe haven't explored before, that they're having experience where they feel that they can get to know a new culture, learn a new language, just try something very, very different to their own cultures. So, for example, Canada is very, very popular for and Japan, for that matter, for our Danish instructors, but likely equally too from those that are coming from for example, the UK and Australia. And I think there are some that are also seeking these boundaries, like how far can I go? How far away can I go from the roots that I call home and what I have been growing up in, and so on? Not just because that it has to be new, but also because that they see this as an opportunity to develop as a ski instructor, but also as a person. And the more you can be exposed to sort of other cultures and new inputs, and so the more you can also put in your bag and bring with you sort of in the future. We talk a lot about carve your future with snow mines, and I think that there's a lot of truth in how you as a ski instructor can learn some valuable skills that can help you carve your future also, maybe when you want to do something else.
I would definitely agree with that statement. That's the skills I've gained from ski instructing and customer service have helped in many areas outside of that. Hey, now, so one I guess major issue, and I remember this when I went to Canada as a rookie instructor, there was no such thing as snow mines. And I ended up at the hostel down in Vernon, downtown, no place to live, no idea what to do. Accommodation in the beginning is pretty hard. You were talking just before we started the show here about that. Do you want to speak to what you find is like one of the most important things setting up for a new instructor?
Definitely. Well, it's no much. We try to create a little bit of a holistic concept where we help from with everything from you apply with us until you're back home. So we don't just offer ski instructor courses, but we try and take a pride in trying to make sure that you can also apply your ski instructor course, get a job at a local ski school. And a part of that is of course that you don't just get a relevant ski instructor certification, great training, and so on. We also want to make sure that you land at a good ski school, where you know the compensation and the way they work is sort of something that we can believe in. But then we also make sure that we take care of, for example, season accommodation. you touched upon that. That is something that is very, very difficult for, I mean, all ski resorts that are, that we're dealing with, no matter where we are in the world. But then again, I think that also just shows how important it is that we try and take that serious and try and organize this for the young people. Because what do you need a job for if you don't have a place to stay in, or have a good place to stay in, and so on? So that's obviously something we take care of. And I think it should also not be underestimated how much community means. And that's something we focus a lot about on in Snow Minds. So we, for example, we never send someone alone to a ski school and or alone on a course. We always give people an opportunity to connect with people that are joining the same course in the same ski school that they'll be working at before they even depart, but also then as such connect with them so that when you, for example, are standing in London Airport and are destined about to board a plane to Tokyo so that you can drive up to Hakuba in Japan and do a ski instructor course, you will actually have the opportunity to stand among friends that you have met at some of our kickoff events before you go, and not only strangers and so on. So I think this community feeling is really important, and also, of course, that is fostered at the ski schools.
Yeah, that part, that's very cool. I wish I'd had that, because I came in, I knew no one, absolutely no one. I had no friends, didn't know anyone over there, and it would have been really nice to at least have had like a few people to go to the pub after the first day and go, wow, that was cool, look at us, we're in another country doing this. Yeah. So what are these kickoff events? What does that mean?
So we're based in Copenhagen, Denmark. But obviously, as I mentioned before, we have instructors from all over the world. So what we do is that we invite our instructors to join us on a full day, actually in Copenhagen, typically in September, or online. So we will then get a group of people together. For example, those that are going to Switzerland with us, they will then come together on the same day, and then we will make a program where we focus on the experience they will have, what they can expect, how we try to develop them as ski instructors, what kind of elements it is that we're working with, and then of course a lot of team building, knowledge sharing, and fun, so that after this full day that they feel much better prepared for the experience. But very importantly too, that they've actually had an opportunity to meet those people that they will be going on a course with and be working with. So that's sort of the core concept of the kickoff events we run.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you really believe in like setting. I was asking you, like, if you were to run a ski school and you said, hey, I don't want to run a ski school. But I was kind of pressing you on this because I think you're in a unique position in that because of your job running Snow Minds, you've been to all these different ski schools. And from the outside, you look in and you're looking at them. Would I want to, do I feel comfortable sending James from London over here for his first trip away? Is he going to be looked after? So you get to see all these ski schools from the outside. Mm. You mentioned something interesting, which was, you know, what is the areas you think like kind of are really important within a ski school for a ski school to offer a good product? So before the product is out there, can you speak to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I think it's important to acknowledge, this is at least my viewpoint, that it's not necessarily the best skier that's the best ski instructor. I think growing up, we've had this sort of picture in our head and our mind that you had to be expert skier, you have to ski 20 weeks a year since you were 5 years old, and 20 weeks in total since you were 5 weeks old, and be able to ski powder and black slopes and almost be the expert on the mountain before you become a ski instructor, to actually be a good ski instructor. And I don't believe in that mindset. I think that's too simplified. I think a good ski instructor is a human being, where being able to ski and deliver a good skiing product, that's just one out of a few elements. What we look for in Snowmans when we recruit our instructors is also a lot of personal skills. And when we take someone in that we believe can become good instructors and succeed on our courses and represent us well when they go and work at the ski schools. We work with them on their professionalism, the personal development. We work with them on the cultural understanding, the language skills, and then the snow sports, as we call it, not just being good on ski, but also understanding your equipment and the mountain hazards and so on. And I think those five elements, when we sort of run our kickoff events, run our courses, work with them during the season and so on, the goal for us is to make them successful. I sincerely believe that the best ski instructor is also an instructor that feels successful. So how do we achieve that? Well, with these five elements, for example, if we can work with them during the pre-courses we, for example, run before they do their first ski instructor exam, that will help them also pass that exam. And passing that exam, I think we can all relate to that. That's just, we explode. I'm sure, Tom, you can remember too, when you passed your first ski instructor exam up, and maybe with Norm up in Silver Star and so on, like, and getting that diploma and the certification, that's just, that feeling is epic, right? But but just as epic as that feeling is, just as hard can it be to be that person that didn't succeed? And that's okay. We cannot always succeed and so on. But what we are trying to do is we're trying to really work with the development of our instructor candidates so that we optimize the likelihood of succeeding in that moment. But then that's only the first step. The next step is then, okay, now you have your diploma. Now how do you then go out and put these sort of new one skills into practice and succeed as a ski instructor? And for example, in Austria, a lot of our instructors that will do the courses in November or December, they will then, after the course, come out to a ski school. They obviously know about the ski school and have had contact with the ski school before they go. Then they will land, they'll be greeted together with the other snowmine instructors, and they'll be shown the housing and so on. And then they'll often have sort of a week or so to sort of settle in, get to know the ski resort, the ski school a little bit, and then they'll start work. But often Christmas, most of the tourists that are coming, they are not Danish, they're not Dutch, they're not Brits, they're from Germany. And as such, people coming to Austria from Germany, for example, they expect that you get a ski instructor that can speak German to you. So how does it help you that we maybe focused a lot on your ski development, but we maybe have spoken English to you during your entire exam, or Danish for that matter? If you then suddenly finding yourself gonna apply these new one skills for a group of 12 German kids, and 12 German kids, that means 24 German parents that are looking at you too, and a ski school manager is standing over there, passion, wie geht's, alles und so weiter, because suddenly you represent not just yourself, but you represent a business, an employer that is very, very dependent on you delivering a good job. And I feel that first sort of experience, that can be a hit or miss too, right? And we want to make sure that we also have done everything we could to make sure that that is going to be a success too. Because if you succeed on your first lesson, the kids, they can learn to ski, you see the parents with a little tear on the eye and so on, and a happy smile from the ski school manager, that's the best feeling too. And that's what we want to work with.
So how did you get, you know, we both probably started ski instructing in a similar period. So I my first season was 2005, 2006. Yeah. You said 2004 was yours, exactly. Correct? Yeah. So you get to this point, you do some seasons, you quite a few, went to some different places, got some levels, but then you take this road to, like, how did Snowmine start? Why did you not go, no, I'm going to, you know, keep going up and I want to be better and better? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I ended up becoming a ski instructor out of coincidence, to be honest. I always loved skiing. This is one of those things that I believed in life that I was actually also decently good at. And I think that feeling of having something you're good at is really important sort of in your younger life and so on. So when I was 19, I graduated from high school. I was just like, I knew I wanted to do a winter season, and then I wanted to become a lawyer, just as my granddad. Now you know which one of them became true, right?
Yeah.
But But then, so I didn't know if I should work as on a hotel or whatever, because I didn't really know anyone that had been on a season. So, but then I ended up with a company that helped me, that was also organizing ski trips for tourists. And then they set me up with a ski instructor certification. And I had a little bit of a similar feeling as you had in Owen Silverstar. I ended up in Austria, and on my first course there, I had to speak German, because my Ausbildner, which is called in Austria, he was German, and that's what you speak down there. But I was the only Danish person, so I had to sort of both adapt to all the new learnings and so on, but also to another language and to people that were all from other countries as myself, and spoke languages that was not my mother tongue. And yeah. And to be completely frank, that was a challenge. It was a little bit of a rough start. I conquered that. I got my certification. I figured out that I was so much to learn that even though I believed I was a great skier, I found out that I was definitely not. and figured out that I was just loving that industry and that feeling of helping others succeed, sort of give others something and see them grow. So I ended up doing 4 winter seasons. Was never sort of that ski instructor that was the one to develop fastest and take most certifications and so on. But always just really loved that industry and did a few different things also related to the travel operations and so on. And when I then had done 4 seasons, I decided that it might be time to study. So I started studying my bachelor degree and master degree in Copenhagen, and then in 2012, Otto, my business partner, he called me up and he said, I have this idea that I think it could be amazing to try and help other young people get the same experiences as we had gotten, but with a full focus on sort of a more sort of secure entry to the ski instructor industry. And I felt that sounded amazing. Back then there was nothing. I was like, why don't we just try it and so on. It sounds like fun. We can go help other young people, we can try and start a business, and most importantly, maybe we could join the courses and ski a little bit ourselves. And I never thought that this was something that I would make a living out of. I did it purely based on passion. And maybe that has been one of the routes to success, that I always love what I do, help others work in the skiing industry and ski. And what we found out was that there was just a lot of people that maybe sort of had been looking for a concept a little bit like this, because we sent 51 instructors to Austria that first year, set them all up with a great course at Kitzsteinhorn and jobs and so on, and figured out that that was just awesome. And then it sort of, it took speed, if I can say that. And I guess the way I have tried to develop Snow Minds has always been with a focus on security. We are always there. Spirit of community. You never do this alone. And then our top goal has always been that after we come home from a season, we want you to look back and say, wow, that was just a lifetime experience. I'm so grateful I did that. If we succeed with that, then we don't need anything else. And then, I mean, I did my first 4 seasons in Austria because there was nothing called Snow Mines. But then when I first flew to Japan in 2014, it was because I was thinking, I would have loved to do a season in Japan. I don't know much about it. I heard about this mythical culture, fantastic deep snow. And if I was 19 years old again and someone came and said to me, hey, Chris, why don't you go to Japan and become a ski instructor? I think that would have blown my mind. So it's been really, really easy to develop Snow Minds, because I've always just looked at what kind of experiences would I dream of myself, and then we've tried to create them.
So then what about, because I find this fascinating with business owners, what's been the most challenging thing? What do you feel you didn't have skills in, but you've really enjoyed maybe learning, or what is the Snow Minds, you know, you growing that? Is it, can you think of anything where you're like, maybe even proud of now, like, yeah, wow, I, you know, for example, with big picture skiing, I really had no interest at all in business whatsoever. All I wanted to do was ski, go travel, get better at skiing. And as long as I made enough to like get by, that was it. But now I'm fascinated with business and marketing and customer service and just all these other aspects, marketing, all that sort of stuff. Is there anything that you've kind of found, you know, like, oh, that's also interested you running this business?
Yeah. Well, a lot. And I think we've been faced by a lot of challenges and definitely also messed up a lot of times on the road. I think one thing that when I'm reflecting back and obviously on your question here, I think that has been a challenge, but also the most fascinating, that has actually been to go in and try to set up a ski instructor course in a country that you maybe haven't been in or you haven't been born into, and to understand what is it that a ski school in this country is looking for, what is it that is important that we do right in our recruitment and the way we work with these people, and the way we frame the experience so that we are both setting our instructor candidates up for success, but also making sure that we really meet the needs of the ski schools. And I think Japan is the best example. I think everyone has been skiing in Japan. They know that Japan is just a wonderful, wonderful country with some and just so deep and unique culture. That's my feeling, at least. Fascinating people that are honest, that are so respectful to others, that are on time, you know. And I think traveling to Japan for that first time and have never been there and not having much knowledge about this, but just have a aspiration of trying to get to know the country and get to know the ski schools in the country and to figure out what's important to them and how we potentially could help them. That I find has been maybe one of the most challenging things, but for me personally also one of the most fascinating, interesting and most rewarding things in what we do, to get deep into culture like that. And then you've traveled to Spain and it's completely different, right? And so I think culture matters. It's so important. Yes. That you acknowledge that no model fits all, but also that you need to understand the culture, to understand the people, and to find out how you can navigate best in that country and cooperate best with, for example, the ski schools.
Yeah, fascinating. I think that's a really good just lesson for people. And I brought that question up specifically because, you know, you have life experience now and all these things, and people listening to this might be kind of younger, and it's kind of nice to hear this stuff to know. Well, I would say one of the big things, it was scary. It's challenging to go to Japan. Like you said, like you had this thing was working in Austria, you know, these English speaking countries and here where you'd been, but you went, no, I'm going to broaden my horizons. I'm going to go into Japan and I'm going to go there with respect and try and learn about it. Like, I think that's just a good lesson in life for anything. So yeah, I enjoyed hearing about that. So love it.
I think, if I can sort of just supplement on that, I think that sort of that word respect is something that I think is so important and also so important that in life, but also as a ski instructor, that you understand that if you want to become a ski instructor, we talked a little bit about this before the recording here, that, for example, why do people want to become instructors? We talked about partying, for example. And of course, I think everyone that has worked as a ski instructor, we would probably know that it's possible to get a beer too, right? During winter, and of course, that's a part of the culture and so on. But I think it's really important that those that want to become ski instructors, they understand that this is a job, right? And that there are people that live out of running a ski school. And that's the bread and butter. And they might have 4 months to to earn a living, to make a living for the rest of the year, and so on. And that when you become a ski instructor, you are instantly a part of that culture, of that business, and of that aspiration to succeed during winter time. And I think it's really important to have respect for that. Respect for the fact that you also invited into another culture, into another workplace, and so on. But also important that you have respect for the fact that you, in that sort of job and with this employer, for example, will be, for example, working with people from other countries, living with people from other countries. Some they might have been grown up doing the dishes themselves, and others wouldn't, and so on. And in general, try and understand how can I respectfully act towards the people in the country I travel to, but also with the people I travel with, towards our customers, my customers, and so on, the people I teach, and so on. And I think this is one of those things that I'm actually personally most fascinated about, and is one of my key drivers to do what I do. That is to not just certify ski instructors, and this might come across a little bit sort of fluffy, but also to help develop people. And it's no much when we talk about carve your future, this is very much what that's related to. Yes, you carve on the snow on your ski or your snowboard, but really the skills you learn is something you can use for life, and something I think will really set people up for success also in the future. And I think it's the few people that think about that when they think about becoming instructors. But I think it's everyone that will know what the real value of that is actually when you've tried it. And that's what we're trying to also communicate, and one of the things I find so fascinating.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you've found some people, it sounds like, that have really taken to the industry and done pretty well. I mean, some of your snowminders, like, where have they ended up?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere, right? We've just the last winter we certified a little more than 1,000 new ski instructors worldwide. So everywhere is the easy answer. But just to give you a few examples, we've, for example, within the skiing industry, we've had a few Danish guys who joined our courses and did the first certification down in Austria. And one of them, Victor, he's now a Startlick certified in Austria. And for those that know that system, they know that that's not something that comes easy. And he represents the Danish demo team and so on, together with a few others that have started their career and their ski career with Snowmines. We have another guy who's Startlick in snowboard and so on. So obviously a lot of great examples of people that have taken this to sort of the next level within the skiing industry. But then we had a lot of people who has joined us for a season or two, and they used the competencies that they gained on the winter season as a ski instructor to, for example, in Denmark, get into to some of the best study programs in the country. It is so that you can get access to a study program either because you have the highest GPA or because you maybe not, but then have gotten a lot of other skills that you can sort of make an application based on. And there's so much you can cross off as a ski instructor, an internationally recognized ski instructor certification, work experience in another country, language development, work and experience in countries that are different and so
yes.
forth. And many they use that to also sort of as stepping stones into other industries, into study programs and so on. And for me that's something I'm really proud of. And I
yeah.
think it's really rewarding to see that sort of development.
Yeah, where those people eventually get to with it, whether it is within the industry or outside in something that they're pursuing. Yeah, you know what? I wanted to bring this up. That Interski was just recent, like not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and you obviously were watching probably some footage and stuff on it. So many people were commenting on the impressive Danish Interski team, and you know, Denmark, not quite like Australia, not known for skiing, but you know, you don't really have mountains. I mean, you're the closest one to you. Is Copenhill, which I'm going to ask you about as well.
Over there.
yeah. But I just think I've met a lot of Danish people. really enjoyed skiing with them and meeting them. And I think they really have, to me, very open minds. They're not kind of stuck in their ways. If there is a way to get to like the end point that is going to work best, like they will do that. They'll move towards that. They're not too proud to be like, oh no, we don't do that because we don't believe in it. And I think that's testament to it, because they've, like, the Danish team and association have gone and sought out the best people from all around the world, like sucked knowledge out of them and asked them for information, training, that's the stuff. And then here they are, one of the best teams at Interski. And so I just think that's fascinating about your culture. Like, I think it's similar to what you're doing here. You have this real passion to achieve something, deliver a great product in what you do. And I think that's very Danish. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about Danish people?
Yeah, I think that could of course be said also about the Canadians and the Australians and so on. I think there's so many great teams out there. I also want to say I cannot take any credit for the amazing Danish demo team. I think Rasmus Lundby and his guys are doing fantastic. As a Danish person, I'm very proud of them, and I think it's extraordinary to see how they perform. But I guess I have to speak a little bit to the culture of Denmark, for example, as such, and why they might be developing is probably that we are a small country and 5.5 million people and so on, and as you said, no mountains, so we had to leave until we got Copenhagen, at least we had to leave the country to ski, and that also means that we're skiing everywhere, right? Like especially in the Alps, but also in Norway and Sweden and so on, and I used to sort of seek out and take learnings back home, right, and from different places, and I think that's what the Danish team has definitely tried to do and achieve with
that's what I see. It's a hybrid. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a hybrid sort of, which I think is great. And I think a lot of associations, to be honest, speaking as like not really being part of association anymore, could learn a lot from this kind of hybridism and just really going out and seeking ideas, training, input from outside your circle. So it's just funny that I just saw that similarity of the team, and then you're kind of going from Denmark out and branching out and sending people like, no, go, and like, here's, we don't just go to this one place. And you keep trying to seek out and look obviously for more places that can give a great experience. Yes, it's very
interesting actually, that sort of reflection, and I think I can tell you we have definitely had our fair share of critical questions, for example from people from Australia, right, growing up in Melbourne and Sydney, and then suddenly speaking to a Danish person from Snowmines on the phone and be like, why on earth would I want to become a ski instructor with Snowmines that are from Denmark, the country flat as a pancake, right? And I think maybe that's one of our take the liberty to reflect about sort of our successes a little bit. I think that might be one of the reasons for our success. Actually, we don't have a deep culture in skiing. We have always sort of tried to seek out and seek what is best. So we don't say, oh, come to Denmark. This is the best. Yeah. We have the best culture. So on, we always say, no, let's figure out what's best about Canada, what's best about Japan, what's best about Spain, and let's embrace that. And I think by doing so, also one thing we've always done with Snowmines, we're always working locally. I mean, I have never ever myself put myself as a trainer on a Snowmines program. Yes, I might have skied around with our candidates and tried to give them a tip or two, but I am very, very clear on the fact that I'm definitely not the best ski instructor trainer out there. And there's pros in the industry, such as Riley McLeishan, for example, who has trained on our courses in Japan and so forth. Luke Noron, who's trained our people over in Sunpeaks in the past and in Whistler and so on, that are the best. And we want to work with the best. So we want to reach out, work locally with the experts in the countries we are going to, and make sure that the courses we deliver are the best quality and so on. And I think maybe that is one of the reasons for our success. I think we excel in the organization and looking at how we organize this the best. And then we leave the training and the ski school management and all that to those that are definitely much, much, much better than us to that. And in that partnership, I think we with our partners succeed.
Yes. Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah. I would agree. That's what it looks like from the outside anyway. Hey, I mean, you mentioned it. There is now a ski hill in Copenhagen in Denmark.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube and like an aerial shot of it. But can you describe to people? I mean, I wish there was one in Sydney, but can you describe Copenhill? Like, what is it? And also, and my next question is, what is it like to ski on that surface?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first, maybe you should imagine like Copenhagen, the beautiful old capital of Denmark, pretty flat. And then suddenly in the middle of nowhere, there's sort of this power plant with sort of silvery walls, like a facades that sort of is sort of just popping up of nowhere. And on this sort of power plant that is probably like looking like this, you know, then on top of it, you have a view of the entire Copenhagen and the ocean, and you can see Sweden from up there. And then sort of graduating from steep to flatter, you have a 400-meter artificial outdoor ski slope that is made out of plast, green plast. And then you have grass and plants and so on that is
landscaped. Growing around.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have, and on this sort of 400-meter sort of ski slope, you have three magic carpets, and then a plumber lift that takes you to the top. And then you ski on that. And when you said before that I had no aspiration to start a ski school, I can definitely agree to that, because there's some that do that much better than us. But I also have to admit that it's not fully true, but actually because we actually run the ski school out of Copenhill. So we run the ski school in Copenhagen. So we have a ski school, and that's the only one we need. But
and that runs like obviously year round. Year round. And I mean, do they spray water? Do you have to put water on this plastic, like snow, pretend snow surface to get slippery or not?
You have to sort of. At times to time, sort of maintain it a little bit, but actually, like in reality, it's like more like it's skiable. So when it's put, it's like you just take on your equipment and then you ski on it. So it's not that there has a lot of water consumption and so on to ski. But what obviously would happen after some years is that the amount of skiers that are using it would of course sort of wear down a bit. Down. So at some point you have to replace the plastic, which it was actually recently after quite a few years of usage. So that's how it works.
And excuse my ignorance here, but does it ever snow in Copenhagen?
It does at some times.
And then is it a bit better when there's snow on that on Copenhill?
Yes and no. You know, it's better for, you know, it's like skiing first tracks, right? That's always amazing. But then if you had 100 years and, you know, it's all muggled up, I mean, I like that, but it's not all, right? And you should imagine, it's not exactly that we have a groomer that can groom it, because not that big, right? So what you'll end up with is, of course, a lot of bumps and moguls and so on, which is for some is fun and for others maybe, you know, a little bit dreadful. So you know how that is, depending on your progression. It doesn't snow that much. And to be honest, don't feel bad about the ignorance, because when I say that skiing in Australia back home, Denmark, people don't believe that. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, so have you been skiing on Copen Hill recently?
I haven't been out there recently, but I've been skiing obviously quite often
Yeah.
on the surface. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's just really, yeah. I'm very intrigued by that. Cool. Hey, Chris, it's been great talking with you this evening, and I've really appreciated your time. Anything more you want to add, or maybe, I don't know, maybe some advice? So, I mean, this podcast, if people listening that are interested in taking a ski instructor course, I mean, I think you've mentioned the word young a lot, but you don't just do young people. But maybe do you want to, yeah, just give people an idea of if they are interested in doing something like this, this has sparked something. Maybe they're a mum and they're thinking their child after finishing, school, university wants to go do it. Yeah, any advice or information for those people? What to do, where to go?
Well, first of all, we have people in all ranges, of course. A majority of them are do this when they graduate from high school or university and so on. But the oldest we've had has been a Dutch guy that was 63 years old. So we span the age spectrum there. I guess what I've tried to touch upon also a little bit today is that one of the things we have tried to focus on is to open the world, not just one country or two, but open the world for people so that we can actually try and guide people to the experience that might be befitting them best. And then I guess my recommendation and sort of my maybe what was very much very often on my mind is that I think a ski instructor course and a following season where you apply these skills and work as an instructor should really be seen as an investment, not just in that course and that season, but also in your future. It's something you can apply, not just the one season, but you can be using it for multiple seasons, multiple countries, something we also really have to help with. But really also sort of something that is really shaping the foundation of how we want to develop also outside of the skiing industry in the future. And that's something we focus a lot on and so on. So I guess my recommendation would be to consider not just how amazing it is to be able to wake up every day and have the slopes as your office and skiing every day, but also also think about all the other competences that a season as a ski instructor can provide you, and then just jump out onto it. We say in snow mines everyone can become a ski instructor, and really if you skied a few times and so on, we have courses that fit. We do not believe in this sort of elite viewpoint that you have to be the best on the mountain before you become a ski instructor. You will learn that from the best, you will learn to ski from the best, but the most important is that you have the motivation to develop and to give others a great experience.
Nice. Yeah, good recommendation. Chris, thank you so much. If people are interested, they can go look up Snow Mines. Is it just snowmines.com?
Snowmines.com. That's
Yep.
Snowmines.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
that's all you have to look up. And we are
Yep.
happy to take conversations and figure out how we can help, of course.
Great. Awesome. Well, I've enjoyed the chat. Thanks again. And I'm gonna be knocking on your door one day saying, "Hey, I've got my skis. Where's this Copen Hill? Come and take me down it." I want to
You
try
are
it.
always welcome. We're always welcome, and then we can get a beer at the after she play afterwards. So it got it all right. Tom, thanks so
Perfect.
much for inviting me. It's been really exciting, and also thanks for putting out this exciting podcast. So
My
it means a
pleasure.
lot. Thank
My
you.
pleasure. Thanks everyone for listening. Until next time.
I hope you've enjoyed today's content. I personally love sharing my ideas and thoughts on skiing with like-minded people like yourselves. So if you'd like the chance to ski with me, I invite you to go over to bigpictureskiing.com and become a member. Videos on hundreds of different topics, everything to do with skiing, I create personally to help people like yourselves improve. I reply to every single comment, and videos are tailored so it's like me skiing with you right now. Head on over to bigpictureskiing.com. I look forward to seeing you there soon. See ya.